You're happy in the morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.
Good morning, America. We're coming at you on the Cocktail Hour from the West Coast.
But as if there was good, good morning, America, you dumbasses.
This is live.
Yeah. I mean, no, the thing is, I'm unhappy with America. I'm unhappy for everybody that, as you know, in the run up to our presidential election, this is what we've got to deal with. Yeah. No, I mean, I did anybody watch the whole debate?
I didn't.
No. I mean, maybe if you love Trump and it's just everything he's saying is exactly right. He's got the pulse of, I believe, every word this guy says. Billions of migrants are crossing the border and they're attacking the Washington Monument as we speak. I mean, you know, whatever he says, they're like, yeah, well, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, fuck, those guys are old. They're really old.
Jeez.
Yeah. The funny thing is, we're the youngest thing on your television screen right now. If this was on TV, we would be the youngest thing, and that's sad. Because look at us.
we are old and tired now. I mean, it matters if somebody said, "Hey, Kelly, I don't know, maybe could you, I don't know, stay up past 10 o'clock because that red phone might ring and there's a war somewhere, and I need you to and be up all night working about it." Kelly's gonna be like, "Oh fuck, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, just wake me up.
Can I just watch my 600-pound life in peace? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Knock on the door if there's a launch of some kind, but otherwise, let me have a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you realize that both of our presidential candidates could be our fathers?
Yeah.
Do you realize that?
Did you see the quote from Dick Van Dyke, who's 9 million years old, and he said, "I am old enough to be Joe Biden's dad. And I've got all my marbles."
And he does.
And
he
it's
probably
the thing.
Does.
He probably does. He's, you know, incontinent and can't get around, but you know, he's got all his marbles. But that's what I love about those old dudes is the terminology they use is still 1950. Well, I've got all my marbles. That's Mr. Trump, that's a load of malarkey. You know, and it's like
My daughter's boyfriend was talking about he was saying you can even he, you know, feels aged because he'll say things that kids don't younger than him do not say now. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, somebody is a boomer if they say, hey, man, or something like that. The only thing that still holds up is
what's
up. It must
suck to be over 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. Well,
gosh, guy, I just really feel really horrible because I say all those things to the people that young people at work, and then no wonder they give me the look like.
Oh yeah, know, no, they are looking at you. That happens to me at work. I work with all these children.
Yes.
You know, from another country. You know, and I'm how old are you, man? Well, you know, I'm 28. Okay, whatever. But I'm not cool at all. There's zero cool. No. But you know what? There is something, and it's probably the thing that just drives people consistently to our podcast. You know, it's I've got answers. You got a problem? I've got an answer. Here's what you ought to do.
Yeah. And that's what I like about you, John.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but I'm, you know, let's try something out. I mean, when you've made as many mistakes as I have in my life, you realize you know that being wrong, that doesn't matter. These kids out of school, they've just gone from, oh, I got to study for my test and I'm being graded on everything, to life is you're only graded on the biggest wins or the biggest losses. You know, oh, you rolled your car and, you know, drove it into a lake. Okay, that's what we're going to remember about you. Or you did something amazing and, you know, you won the lottery or whatever. Those are the things that they don't give a shit on what you did Tuesday.
Right.
No,
I
see.
Sorry, yeah, Danny.
I was going to say, when I talk to these young folk, right, and you're right, John, they look to me for answers to some degree, but they also give me that look like, I need you to tell me the answers, because I'm going to do it a lot quicker and a lot better than you ever would, right? So if you give me all this, I'm going to be a hell of a lot farther than you are now and wherever have ever been, mm-hmm. right? So I get that look like, okay, yeah, oh, you're giving the answers, but they're processing going, okay, well, listen, you're such an old fuck, you know, you're not going to be able to do what I did at 30 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And right, I'm like, right. Okay, sure. Yeah. I'll give you the answers. Let me tell you how this test ends. And let me you see where you are in 5 years. Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they should do stuff faster. I mean, they should do everything on their phone.
They should do something is what they should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not doing anything, actually, I think.
I remember when I used to work at the old movie studio, I'd have a bunch of people that would come stand in my doorway. And they would do this little dance. They wouldn't come in. They wouldn't go out. They wanted me to approve of their idea. Right. You know, they had a thought.
Have they met you?
And they would, you know, come in and I would say, what's the thing? And this woman would say, you know, I'm doing this thing, but I think I should be doing this other thing. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. Why do you need to ask me? Well, I want to make sure I don't get in trouble. I'm like, who's getting you in trouble? I mean, we're not in the trouble business. You know, you make a mistake, we can fix it. You figure out something new and wonderful, we all win. What's the downside? You know, the world is not going to stop spinning.
Isn't that to be admired, that caution? Because what if you just cost the company $100,000 in something.
Nah, you never cost. That's the beauty of it. You might cost the company $100.
Okay.
You know, and it's like they're at the time we were shipping these things called videotapes places.
What are those?
Ooh, yeah. Remember that? It's tape.
Yeah.
And you know, it was always about, should I make a copy of this movie? Should I ship it? Should I wait for this? Should I? Mm-mm-mm. And it's like, in the big picture, none of this mattered. And they figured out new ways to do things, and it was wonderful. Now, I don't work there anymore, so maybe I made some bad choices. There's no, you know, maybe it all caught up with me.
Oh, that.
But I was always about,
you know, let's, and people let's are try going to you for advice.
Yeah. Now look at them on unemployment line.
They're standing in somebody else's doorway right now, going, fuck. If I wouldn't have stood in front of that guy, if I wouldn't have gone to John, maybe I'd be farther and not standing
in another doorway. What a dumbass he was! Yeah. No, I think I had a good view of the big picture, and you know, whatever we did was just a tiny little piece of whatever. You know, in the working world. I mean, how many decisions do you make, Danny, a day that are like, you could have gone a totally different direction and you still would get the same place. You know, there's something needs to be done.
You mean at work?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you've got these things you need to do during the day and, you know, you do them, other people work on them, whatever. And it's just, they kind of always get done. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like,
no. Yeah.
The methodology. Or if they don't
get done, right. You've done it enough. When things don't get done, you know how to solve the problem.
That's the biggest part. Like, you fuck this up any way you want, and I can solve whatever you do wrong. I can fix it in 3 minutes with one phone call, you know, because I know how the whole thing works. Go crazy, kid. Let's see what you got.
I'm a little different. When I think about like my business, I've got it all dialed in. It's a well-oiled thing. I make the deadline when the client needs the tape, the file, they make it. So if somebody said, can you do it this way for a change? That's going to rock my world. And then I will have consequences of the file does not make it on time.
Well, I mean,
well-oiled machine, you just put through a wrench in it.
Well, but how about this? So
years, I've learned how to do it.
Exactly.
Best.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, right. So your well-oiled machine is you behind the camera to the final delivery of a recording.
Right.
The kind of thing I'm talking about is, for you, a light bulb burns out in one of your lights. You know, oh shit.
Yeah.
Do I order the light bulb off Amazon or do I go run down to
Fry's
and get a light bulb? You know, that kind of
stuff. Gotcha.
I don't give a fuck. Get
like
me a light bulb.
That kind of problem isn't good. That kind of choice.
It's
is not
like a, it's not
die.
Like a core, like, should I try to send this file with my phone over my neighbor's Wi-Fi? No, I'm not talking about something that
I gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, but or you know, you have switched from one camera to another during your career. Right?
Oh yeah. But not during a session.
No, but I mean, like,
but you could
bought a new camera.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that didn't rock your world. I mean, you might have to change a setting or do something, but you're like,
right.
Hey, look, it's clearer.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
But Kelly, you also said too, you said, if I've got a well-oiled machine and somebody says, oh, can you do it? It throws a wrench, you know, but you've been throwing enough wrenches in your career, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you're like, it's not like you don't just melt down and going, oh, like, well, stop. We can't do this. I'm done. You know, you've just ruined it for me today. It's not going to happen. No, you're like, oh, you know, I'll fuck.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Remember the first time you sent a file by the internet, you know,
yeah,
you
it
had
was
to
weird.
Come up how you did it and all that. Yeah. Cause you didn't give them a tape when you left and that kind of thing. And as you teach your daughter to take over your business and, you know, hand the reins to her and that kind of stuff, she will get the same.
Yeah.
Right. No, I see what you mean.
Your job is to download the knowledge.
Right.
Do you guys, it's funny, John, you're talking about this and Kelly, you too, about the wrench. I don't freak out at work. I don't lose it. I may bitch, you know, to the people that'll listen, you know, the people that'll agree with me.
Who are those people that will listen?
Yeah. Well, they'll hear me out. Let's put it that way. They won't listen. Here. They'll hear me out. But they're bitching too. But I'm saying I don't freak out, but I see other people, younger people, really being kind of freaked out. Well, this is
the last thing they did was a term paper or something. Yeah, shit, they got to freak out. They were drunk. It's due in 2 hours. What are they going to do?
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. They don't realize that it doesn't matter.
But I mean, like in my case, in my business, if I screw up, I'm not going to fire myself. But these young people, well, Danny, when you started in the job you have, and you were young, were you not standing in the threshold of like John's office saying, should I do this? Should I? Because you were new, like you did not want to screw up sending something.
Yeah.
Right.
When you're
missing
a deadline. Well,
that's a huge point here because when I started in the job I am now, right? Basically, I was in my 30s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already had other jobs where I would have done that and had
He'd lived in New York City.
You know, I mean, that's what, you know.
And
now, yeah. So your question is, I didn't do kind of, but like John's saying, I didn't come right from college to this job, right?
Yep.
There were other jobs that I had that I was like, oh, you know, and I hovered in around somebody's doorway or I was.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Exactly. But but I don't, and also the ability to, what I've noticed in young people, the ability to, one, get kind of aggravated that they've got to figure this out or it's not happening the way that they had planned, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is higher than it's ever been.
Really?
You know, it's not there. There isn't that, oh, well, all right, this isn't working, right? Okay, I see what I did wrong. Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to problem solve this.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of, sometimes they'll just say, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm just, well, I've done all I can do. Right. And I'm like, nah, I don't think you've done all you can do.
Oh, that's the wrong answer.
You know,
they might say I'm lost and I need help, I've done all I can do. Okay. Well then why don't you just go home and don't come back?
Or if I need help, it doesn't translate for the most part into, I want to learn. It turns into, I need your help doing this for me so it can get done. And that's what I'm kind of like.
Yeah.
You know, now it's getting harder for me to, you know, approach that from a tutorial perspective. It's like, no, you want me to do it. And I'm like, no, I think you should go back. You know, you need to go and get these answers. You need to figure this out. You need to go and have a conversation in person with the person that's asking you to do this. Right. Because I can go and do that. I can call them up. I can take you out of it. But no, you took on that responsibility or that's your job. Then, see it through.
Yeah. wonder how much of it is age. Like if I,
huge, I think
I closed my business and Danny, you hired me to go and work for you and I'm 64.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how much, if I'd be more relaxed than that 22 year old.
Oh, hell yes.
I think you would. Oh, hell yes.
Would I be? I mean,
the last place I worked.
Even you, Kelly, who would worry about something. You would worry about our friendship. You'd worry about our relationship. You would worry about how I look and all that stuff.
You'd worry about screwing up. You'd worry about getting the job done correctly because you would be appreciative that you had this job or whatever.
Kind
of thing. But you wouldn't worry about all of those other things that they worry about.
They worry about,
I don't want to make a mistake and look dumb. And you've made a lot of mistakes and you don't feel dumb when you make them. That's not anymore. The last place I worked before the one I work now, they were great because they hired old people. Like they hired me. They hired people older than me. And that they probably saw value in that. And there's some point in your career arc where you're on the other side, you're also cheap. You know, shit, you're going to hire me and give me health care. Hot dog. Mm-hmm. I talked to this one guy. He was 65. He'd been there for a couple of years and they hired him and he would do anything they wanted because his wife had cancer and they gave him health care and all that kind of stuff. And it helped get through that. And that guy was seasoned. You know, he came in and said, you know, just show me the equipment I'm supposed to work on and the things I'm supposed to put together. And that kind of, and he just did it. And he was friendly and relaxed, but also didn't take shit because he knew what he was doing. And that's, it's wonderful to hire really old people. And you should, if you're a good executive, you should probably have a great mix of ancient and brand new.
Yeah. People. Yeah.
And we probably could solve the housing crisis by opening up old folks and, you know, the young New York people that live 9-to-apartment kind of thing. Like if you mixed those groups of people, you know, and there's some old lady walking around, what are you like young ladies doing? You're going to get a disease.
I say you go one step further. You make them all live together too.
Nope. But I mean, but if you had,
that's a reality show.
Yeah. If you had just like a big building and young people and old people live there and they were roommates and they all had a collective dining room and you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
God, that would be, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? I mean,
there's a
lot I could learn from younger people. There's a lot they could learn from me too, but there's a lot I could learn from them.
It's like, don't say,
hey dude, man. Yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. That you gotta say skibbity or something like that. Now I saw
it. Really, what is
neato.
It now?
That's neato.
Yeah. What a bunch of malarkey.
23 skidoo.
I mean, it's kind of like a few month long Big Brother episode. Here are these old people and these young people. They're in New York in the whatever building. And, the old people are giving young people advice on life and getting jobs. And, you know,
sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, yeah. You know? Back in my day, we didn't have any. We just, you know,
leave it alone. It'll get better.
Yeah. You drink, rub vinegar on it.
Yeah.
It'll burn it off.
AIDS, give me an old fashioned girl with gonorrhea.
Yeah. The clap.
Got it.
My wife's college roommate was visiting last week? And her daughter is interviewing for jobs. You know, she's just fresh out of college and do that.
Here?
Kind of thing. Mostly New York. She lives in New York. And they're those kind of folks that they want their children close by. And so, we're not into living and working in LA. We're really, you know, New York. We like New York. We want to go there more. So that's where we want them to move. And it's interesting because she was writing an email to somebody like some kind of documentary filmmaker, like, you know, one of those high paying jobs. Can I work for a documentary filmmaker? You know, because I want to make dozens of dollars a month and, maybe I could have a granola bar. But it was interesting hearing the mom telling the daughter about what to say in the email. Because if you were a young person writing an email like, hey, my name is Tammy and I want to work for you as a, you know, documentary film maker and my friend so-and-so told me about this, the style of writing would be, in her own voice. And you hear the mom saying it. It's like, you know, as per the above, we should. I'm like, oh, damn.
Wow.
How old are we that we're using? You know, the next thing you know, she'd be saying, and I think you should print it out on buff colored parchment paper and, you know, make sure you.
With a border.
Yeah. Make sure you write the envelope really nicely and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, the email is really like, yo, my friend said I should call you about a job. What's up? I mean, that's how she would probably get the most traction.
I think I could kill it. Please see me.
Yeah, that's right. you need help. Yeah. Me, give help.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs, you know, chat up on Instagram when we got a parent over your shoulder telling you how to do it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, my database to pull from, but you still got
my parents. Maybe that's where I get it from. My parents always had a lot of advice for me. And so maybe that's why I'm just, you know, I'll tell you what to do, because they've told me everything, what to wear, what to do, what to not do, how to act, how, you know, how to make it in the country club society, that kind of stuff. Now, I never got into the country club, never, you know, my brother and I have been blackballed from every organization that exists. So we, you know, we can't get into any of those. But if I did, by golly, I would know how important it is to have, you know, the right outfit, that kind of stuff.
I try desperately to stay out of my daughter's way, who's 27. And it is hard to, but I'm getting better at it. Mainly because, well, you know, she doesn't live in my guest house anymore.
Yeah.
But it's not easy because you love them and you want to, like, honey, don't make this mistake. But here's the thing.
She doesn't listen to the show, so you're free to say whatever you want. What advice would you give her if she said, "All right, Dad, I need advice. I'm in a canyon of my life.
The first thing I would say is don't waste your 20s."
Interesting.
Give me a little more about that.
Yeah, let's go on that.
There are things like
talking about drugs,
TED,
right?
I saw a TED talk, and this woman had really valid points, and she was, I forget who it was, and she was talking, saying, so many of you young people feel like, well, this is my 20s, man, you know, I'm still in my 30s I can start really writing that book or script or whatever I'm going to do, you know.
Oh shit.
And she says, no, because in your 20s, you're also going to make connections. And I know that sounds shallow, but it's true. I have connections that I made in my 20s, and I still benefit from them. Okay. Yeah. Like as an actor, this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Right now, off the top of my head.
Did you waste your 20s?
Did I? Yeah, if I could play them again, I would have played the guitar more.
That wasn't a waste
because you did play the guitar. Maybe you didn't play it as much, but did you?
No, the waste was I didn't make a movie, things like that.
But when you were 20, didn't you just move from somewhere to LA and start acting?
Yes, I did. I will pat myself on the back and say, yes, I did what you're supposed to. If you want to be an actor, you got to do this. And it takes discipline and work. And I did that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
interesting.
I still had a lot of spare time where I could have written more scripts, this kind of stuff. From a 25-year-old's point of view is pretty good. But I mean, I couldn't write a script now from a 25-year-old's point of view. I wouldn't know how to do it, but.
Wait, no, didn't those movies? Who is that guy that did all those, you know, Breakfast Club, John Hughes or whatever?
Did he
write stuff about his high school life? He was 35 or 40. I mean, you know, you can write it.
He wrote it. Set in the present time. He wasn't writing about 1972. He's running about 19, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good example. You're right. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if I agree with you, this person. I didn't see the TED Talk, so I don't know. I don't think the word waste really causes me some really anxiety here, because I think that thought actually causes more problems. Because, and I have this with my own kids, you know, you're not wasting your life because you're not doing the things you, when you're looking back now, that you should have done. You're in that moment, and 20s is a very uncertain time, both emotionally, yeah, socially, every, you know, yeah, everything. Yeah. So I think if, unless you're sitting in a room in a vacuum and not doing anything, right, and there's, and you've got fears or whatever, maybe that. But if you're making choices, like John says, that you're going to look back and say, God, that probably wasn't the best choice. And we all have done that in our 20s. But if I wouldn't have made that choice, I wouldn't be making the choices in my 30s and 40s. And today, I wouldn't have that level of experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it wasn't a waste. It was actually, I can sit here and, like you, Kelly, and say, I can give you a list as long as my arm of regrets. But I didn't waste my 20s. I lived my life at the moment that I thought I was doing the right thing, right? And that, whether I got connections, whether I got a skill set, whether I got a work ethic, all those things came from those choices I made, right, back in my
20s. Yeah, but I how can I put this? Like, I spent a lot of my 20s sitting in, you know, in my favorite bar in Manhattan.
That sounds kind of great.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, you could have.
What do you got to show for your 20s, other than what acting success I had?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, let's. I mean, turn that on its head. Let's say that when you were in your 20s, you had a typewriter, you had a new ribbon, a big thing of paper, and you just wrote script after script after story after novel or whatever, and you sent it out. And like most writers, nothing happened. And you'd be like, "Fuck! I wasted my 20s typing when I could have been sitting in a bar in Manhattan."
You know what you said, too?
Oh, that doesn't work for me, man. I disagree. What?
You know
what
said, you know what said about that you just said makes me very... You said, I was set in my favorite bar in Manhattan.
Oh.
Okay? One.
Why?
One, you're in Manhattan. You're not from there, so you made that choice.
I'm not in Saskatoon.
Yeah. Two, the word favorite, okay? How many people have a favorite bar? I mean, obviously it was favorite for a reason. So you went there because they were the drinks just cheap? No, you went there because something about it appealed to you. The people you met, the you know, the connections you made.
Pat O'Malley, the bartender. Yeah.
Yes. He's a good man. He's a good Irishman. Right. Yeah. But I mean,
but what have I got to
show? That's where we got our theme song from.
This, you got the ability to
so
sit
I've got
down
a damaged liver. That's you what know? I got to show for it. But
really?
If Story. I had, I could have had a written a script. If I had written five scripts a year, four scripts a year, one of them could have been made into a movie. And I could be sitting here right now saying, remember that movie, this and this? You guys say, yes.
You know what?
If I wrote that.
If you started making movies and you sold a script for hundreds of thousands of dollars when you were in your 20s, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be hanging out with us. You'd be,
and maybe your liver
you'd
be
worrying
worse.
About whether your gardener is going to hit your, you know, Mercedes sedan, you know, when he's cleaning up your Bel Air or whatever. Yeah, fuck yeah, that would have changed you. We want the Kelly that sat in the bar, not the Kelly that sells.
Yes, I want the person who's living.
Those people are assholes. Have you met them?
Yes.
You're just trying to make me feel better, you fuckers.
No, I'm trying to, you know, this all stemmed from the fact, what advice would you give your child?
Yeah, do you right? want your kid, do you want your kid, here's the thing. Do you want your kid to be one of those assholes that lives in Bel Air? I will tell you, nobody cool lives there.
Does it have a pool?
It's got a pool. It's got a tennis court. You never use it because you're inside, you know, dealing with your kids, blah, 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 whatever. And you're, you know, the stock market is doing whatever, and you're trying to sell a, you know, Marc Chagall painting to somebody to launder some money, whatever the fuck that their lives are, right? You don't want that. You want to be here with us going to the local Mexican restaurant.
Well, I wouldn't say I don't want that. Can I try it first and see what happens?
Yeah, can I? Yeah.
Yeah, can I do a test run on that?
Trust me, you're both happier.
Yes. I don't know. I just don't. I would never say, don't waste something. I would say, okay, what did you learn from what you did or did not do, right? Because if you go and do something.
Don't spend so much time at Bogey's Bar on 26th.
Well, maybe you know, maybe your friend.
You know what? I would say, honestly, I would like for your daughter to spend a little more time at a bar. You know, just
you say you wish you did.
I wish your daughter did. Just go to just a fucking disgusting dive bar and drink Budweiser out of.
There's that.
You know,
I know
questionable mug.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be that disgusting. It can be a really upscale bar, right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're drinking, you know. Just sitting
not
there
too
going,
upscale. I don't like the real upscale bars. They're I don't want to pay $25 for a gin and tonic. But yeah,
that's true. You want to be able to have some sort of variety of experiences and personnel and
people. There's something to be said to be unafraid of. And maybe this goes back to the young people and that kind of stuff. I feel like I could walk into a bar, sit down, order a drink, and just exist there. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of young people will be like, "Oh, I don't want to go in there."
What are we doing?
Yeah, you know, I'd be anxious about going into that bar because whatever. I mean, you know, as long as it's not a biker bar, then I'm going to get my ass handed
right,
to me.
Right, right, right.
You know, just a normal bar. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can have small talk with bartenders. We go down to the local bar at the end of the street and, you know, have a tiki drink or whatever. We met real scary Larry and hung
scary
out with him.
Larry.
I mean, it's, you know how to do that kind of stuff. If you aren't in social situations like that, you freeze up.
All right. So Kelly, what other advice?
Jeez.
Buy
a house. You gotta come up with a motherfucker of a down payment, though. I don't know.
People are saying now that, I mean, you know, should you buy houses? Right. I mean, you know, we kind of came up like, oh, got to buy a house. That's what grownups do. That's how you.
But I'm so glad I did.
Well, yeah, then. But now.
All of us are.
Yeah. But think, what if you were 27 years old and you want to live somewhere near your jobs? So LA, New York, Austin, you know, whatever. Yeah. And you want to buy a house. Fuck, you're looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, a giant down payment. And right now a mortgage rate that's high. I mean, it might not be a great idea. Maybe it's better to rent.
And the other
not
thing only is, the,
yeah.
Why didn't you buy a house at 27? Or maybe you did. I don't know.
I was 32.
Okay. But that's my, you know, how do you know you're going to be where you're going to be? That's the other thing. I don't know if my children are going to be here. So why would you do that if you don't know where your life is going to be? Now, if you're talking about an investment, great. But like John says, that investment, it's going to take a lot of capital. Jesus. And then they're going to have that pressure, right? First of all, do I make enough money to be able to afford this? Second of all, right, am I savvy enough to buy a place that's going to, you know, appreciate, you hope? We don't know. And also, am I going to be here? What if at the age of 32 or 31, like myself, I'm out of here. I'm going to Los Angeles, or I'm going to Chicago.
Well, then you sell it.
Again.
As long as it's not underwater.
Exactly. It's not underwater.
Yeah.
But then also, you've got to go.
Yeah.
Then you're putting yourself in that other position. And like, well, then do I buy in LA? Do I buy? Well, I can't afford LA. If I have a house in Chicago or any other place, I can't afford that. So
Pascagoula, Mississippi. That's where I'm looking. They have cheap homes there.
Good. Well, it was nice working with you and knowing you. I will never see you.
I'm not going to live there. I'm just going to own it.
Oh,
I don't really want to go there or anything like that, but I could just get me a house for like 40 grand. And then.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll start watching the Weather Channel. Can I can see when it's going to get blown away or.
That's kind of why I'm thinking about just property with no buildings on it, because what could go wrong with that? Right.
Well, all I can say is that my experience is that it was one of the it was one of the better things I did was buying a house. Didn't know at the time. I was terrified, but I'm so glad I did. I don't have to pay rent now.
You were at a place in your life. One, forgetting you could afford it, meaning you had the ability to pay it off.
Also, it was that time of history.
Exactly. And the time of your brain, I mean, if you bought a house and you knew that you may not be staying in Los Angeles for a period of time, you know, I don't think you would. I mean, you know, you put down roots is what I'm saying. It's like, this is a smart investment, and I don't see myself leaving in 5 to 10 years. Even if, you know, if some big success came, that's a different story. But as life is, you weren't planning on flying the coop here.
Yeah. Okay. Now I got to ask you guys, what would you say the top two, off the top of your head, advice you would give to a 22-year-old today?
Don't spend your money on name brand shit. Don't go buy Louis Vuitton purses and, you know, fashion brands and that kind of stuff. Buy whatever you want. I don't care. But like, don't buy something overpriced because it's, you know, whatever. Cause that's the stuff that's like ridiculous. Yeah. And then I think, have fun. You're in your 20s. Have a great time. Don't worry about anything. You know, I mean, you got a job. We came up in the, you know, like our parents' generation worked for the same place until they turned 65 and they got a gold watch and, you know, pension. Then, you know, I have grown up thinking that I could work somewhere as long as I wanted to work. And that doesn't happen. You know, I do a great job. I get laid off because of economic downturn or shareholder value or whatever.
Ageism.
It is. Ageism, but yeah.
So you might as well have fun, right?
Yeah. And I think there's something about taking risks. Like I don't know that it's regret, but I mean, I worked really hard in school, got into, even though my GPA was shit, I got into, you know, graduate school and all that kind of stuff. And when I got into the TV stuff, it was interesting. It was easy. It wasn't a grind like, you know, doing math classes and things like that. And I think that's one of the interesting things about it. Like, you know, I didn't go work at JPL or something like that, or, you know, any of those kind of things. And I feel like I enjoyed being around people and having a job where I, you know, worked in bigger companies and, you know, talked to a lot of people and did a lot of things. I like that. And now my job, I work for a small company, but every day I'm meeting somebody new and selling and doing demonstrations and talking to people on the phone. And I like that. And I think that's how you find that stuff out. I feel bad for these kids that come from countries where it's so competitive to come to America, like, you know, China, you know, India, things like that. Like I have a buddy of mine, and his true love was dance. The guy loves to dance, you know, like his brother is a ballroom dancer, and he likes, you know, dance, battle, rap, kind of whatever that stuff is. But his parents were like, heads down in the book. You got to study, because here in India, you take some test and the top 0.5% go to the, you know, good schools in India, and the rest of everybody is stuck. So he went to a great school, got great grades, came to work for like Activision or, you know, somebody like that. They brought him to America, and you know, he was forced into this thing that was awful. And guy just loves to dance. So he's a software engineer, you know, high level, can build anything or whatever. But man, dude's got a lot of baggage. You know, I've met.
How old is this guy now?
Late 30s, maybe early.
So
maybe
not
what
too
kind
late.
Of
what
maybe kind 40. Of dance? You mean ballet?
No. Have you seen those things where, you know, some kind of hip hop music playing or whatever, and people run out and they do crazy twists and handstands and spin around and point at each other like, I got you with that sick move, bro. And then someone else comes, oh, watch this sick move, bro.
It's like those movies, the Step Up movies, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So where maybe they're a little older, but the guy loves doing that. And he started singing and, you know, performing, and, you know, that's really what kind of turns him on. But his job, clackety, 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 clackety in front of a fucking computer 12 hours a day.
Wow. Kind of thing.
And, you know, he and people like him are told by their parents what they should do. And it's based on what their parents want. I want you to get the hell out of India, go to America, get a job, and then bring us over there as soon as you can. You know, you know. And his parents live here. Now, I've met his parents. They're great. Whole family, really nice. And, you know, but I guess if he had followed his true love of dance, he would still be in India where it was 127 degrees the other day. But, you know, that's what I would not want my kids to do. Like, don't just do what you're supposed to do. Take some risks, because it doesn't really matter. I've got one daughter that is working so hard, and you know, she's getting paid great and all that kind of stuff, but she's just grinding. And I've got another daughter that is doing the opposite of that, and she's just kind of chilling and waiting. She's going to be moving to Germany and going to just figure it out as she goes along, whatever. And it's really interesting how different the two of those paths are. They're not really that different as people. It's not, you know, one of them is super lazy and one of them is super dedicated. It's just they're on a different path. And, you know, shit, who knows what's going to happen at the end?
Yeah.
But is your first daughter's not miserable because she's working so
hard?
She's
not miserable. I mean, she's working hard. She has, you know, she has morning and nighttime calls. You know, she works with a company that has a Chinese office, and, you know, she's covering for people that are out on paternity leave. And she's the kind of person that, you know, when you had the science project, there were the kids that did all the work, and then there were the kids that showed up and said, what was the answer? All right, you know, let's go. So she's the one that does all the work. And, you know, that's she resents and applauds that at the same time.
Right?
She knows she's going to do a great job, and she's proud of that. But then she's also kind of pissed that nobody lives up to her expectations, which is something to deal with. But, you know, and then the other one is, you know, really next month she's moving to Germany. So she's like, why the hell would I get a job? And I'm like, because you need two nickels to rub together. But, you know, I'm trying to, like Kelly said, I'm trying to stay out of her business.
Yeah.
And I'll just, we'll see what happens.
Danny, top two.
I think the first one would be, and I know this will sound like a plaque that you get at Hobby Lobby, but, you know, you're not.
Women should remain silent.
Read the Bible.
Yes. Corinthians, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, like, I would say you're not defined. Don't be defined by the mistakes you've made, right? Or bad choices, right? Don't carry those. Just take away from that how you survived it. No matter how painful, right? Or how demoralizing it may be, or you feel like I'm a loser, or I lost, or, you know, if I'd only would have done, you know, you made a choice, right? Which is, first of all, you should be applauded, right? You made a choice, because a lot of people don't make choices. And I learned this, and this is when I'm my 20s, I held back. I didn't make choices. I didn't take risks. I took little risk, and then I go, oh, I moved to New York City. Whew. Well, I'm ready. No, that was one step. You got to keep making choices, right? And taking those risks, right? And kind of the first thing that John said, take risk, right? Because you know what? You're not going to learn. You're not going to get better. You're not going to certainly, you know, gain anything. And chances are you're going to not succeed all the way to your expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing is, you know, John says, have fun. I think you need to sit down and be really reflective and assess who you are and how you're defined and how do you want to be defined. You know, I used to say to my kids all the time at the kids at work, and kids here, my real kids, I would say, if you, wherever you are in a work situation or a social situation or whatever, how do you want to be defined? If I had to say to you guys, or to you or these kids, I'd say, I need three descriptive words of what you think people would say about you, right? So if I go up and say, if I had asked you, let's say it's you, Kelly, how do you want to be defined? So I would have to give you three very bold, very descriptive, very as specific as you possibly can that define you.
Right. You mean how do really how I would how like, I wish I would be defined?
Right. So, okay. You know, like some people would, I would say, and I would ask these kids, all right, you've met me for however long now. Give me three words, right? And by the way, you know, one word, right? And it can't be knowledgeable, right? Of course, I'm knowledgeable. I'm 108 years old. I've been through around. It can't be experienced, you know? It can be that those are easy. Those are, that's not, you're not thinking. Be really, really specific, right? And you have to think about it, you know?
It's got to be positive too, right?
No, it's got to be accurate.
Oh shit! Oh god! Well, here I go.
No, it doesn't. And you know, I mean, listen. If I'm if the word is if somebody says you know, well, he's very demonstrative, right? That could be negative or positive. I don't know in the context.
But you're not expecting something like asshole.
Yeah, if somebody said you know, then that tells me a lot. I mean, that first of all, if somebody says, well, you're kind of a dick, right? And I would say, great. If that's how you perceive me, right? Then you're being either one, you're interpreting that based on my behavior, or you're taking that from your perspective. So again, going back to what is it you, how do you want to be seen? And it changes all the time. But at this moment, at 27 or 22 or 60, how do you want to be defined, right?
Okay.
And,
they,
and work towards that because you know what you what's going on inside, right? You know, yeah. I mean, and by the way, it can be, I say bold, but it also can be extremely passive in some ways, right? You know, if you would say somebody is like, man, they are really deep, right? Or they are, you know, something that is, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody that I'm that is that you know they have a quiet intensity, right? That could be good or bad, but I understand, you know, what, okay, now I see they're reflective. Let's say that they're always seem to be sitting there and they're very, you know, they don't say much, but you can tell that they're just, you know, they're just in deep in their thought and a lot's going on, but it's not coming out because it's not, you know, gregarious or whatever it may be. And so I think that that's something you have to, because then, you know, what you need to do, right? And what you would like, how you would like to be perceived, right? Doesn't mean you're always going to get there, but then how those choices, what choices you make, right?
What's the second one?
And then just be true. Just true to yourself. Yeah, don't try to be somebody you're not. Because I've tried that and it's just not, it's, that's the worst thing that I've done. I think that if I've got a major regret is I tried to be something I wasn't and, you know, and it never works.
Interesting.
People see right through it.
I want to talk to you about that some,
later
at a bar in Manhattan sometime.
Right. Well, hell yeah. Or we can go down to the tiki bar.
I could set you straight, maybe. No, like.
Don't waste your 60s. That's what I would say to you.
I'd like
don't
to.
Don't waste your
60s.
That's a great point. I mean, you're talking about your 20s, but I mean, shit. Don't waste your 60s.
Right now, I'm actually. That. Yeah, I'm actually more worried about wasting my time now than I ever did in my 20s.
Yeah. Right?
Anyway.
Yeah. But
nobody's going to listen to me anyway, which is another thing that I've learned in my 60s. Right? People are going to go, and they're like, I ain't listening to you. Right? My own children or people I work with, which is fine. Right?
I am curious to know what it is, though, that you, like you said, that was a mistake you made, trying to be something you're not. I'm so curious about what that would be. But we can maybe talk about that another time.
Beer. On another
very
episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. There we are. Here we are. It's educating the young listeners, or maybe some of the old listeners. Don't waste your 60s. Don't waste your 50s.
Yeah. I know there's some young people listening in their 50s. Here,
so. Yeah, some of the youths. But I would say there's a difference between wasting and then regretting. You know, like, oh, I should have played more guitar. I mean, that maybe you should, but you didn't. For some reason, you didn't like it that much.
God, yeah. Can you imagine? And I think about this because you both are musicians, and I think about this. And if I start thinking about all those years that I had guitars and, you know, started and whatever, if I start thinking about that, Kel, I'm telling you right now, I get so friggin' depressed and just down on myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop.
I understand.
I was doing other things. I should, you know, I wondered if I really would have wanted to play the guitar, I would have been sitting around. You know, playing my, you know, my K guitar, K-A-Y guitar.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And that's just, you know, and that's
a good point.
Back.
If you wanted to, you would have.
Yeah. And
I did
you know
other
what?
Things.
The people that were awesome guitar players just spent their childhood doing that, you know, at home in a room with the door closed, working on Rush licks or something like that.
And
you know, it's great now, but it wasn't that much fun then, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to know that. I mean, you know, it's funny, when I was talking about the guitar, I was listening to some people talking, because I get these videos all the time and listen to Clapton talk or whatever and whatever. And I'm like, when you were sitting and you were 13 years old and you were playing that Sears and Roebuck guitar that you got, right? Was your goal at the time, or was to be a good guitar player, or was it something else? Were you too shy to ask girls out, or were you a horrible athlete, or you hated school, or your parents fought all the time? I don't know if it was just, oh, I want to be a good guitar player, right? Was there a dream of being a rock star? Well, back then, these guys weren't any rock stars. I mean,
there wasn't much else. Like Clapton, those guys lived poor people in England. They were bored.
But they
making an assumption. I don't know that.
But they do. They did say
yeah.
They would hear something. They would hear something on the radio, or somebody would put an LP out or whatever, and they're like, "Oh my God, have you heard this guy called Muddy Waters?" Right? They would just, man. That would just, and you know, it's no different than somebody seeing an athlete. Or for me, you know, I got more excited watching a TV show or going to the movies and seeing a great performance and going, wow.
Actors.
And then you're off to the races. Right. And I don't know if going back to the kids things, I don't know if our kids get that same kind of rush from something they see or hear that inspires them to want to do something that maybe sounds silly or sounds hard or whatever, because I think they're overstimulated. Because we had one radio station you listened to and that was it, and you couldn't play back, you had to pay attention, whatever, and you didn't get sidetracked. So if you're hearing a Muddy Waters lick or whatever on the radio, or somebody does happen to have a few dollars and a phonograph, that was it.
My daughter said something when she was like 16, and my wife and I thought it was rather sad. She said, "You know what? Nothing impresses me. Nothing.
Yeah, there's so much stuff.
There's so much stuff. Sad? And how are you going to blow me away when everything's been so, I don't know, not loud, and you know, nothing. She's like, wow."
I mean, there's
like,
so
I'll
much
play her a song that I write or something. It's like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
no,
that, even the songs they
sad.
Love, they love them for a week or two, you know, like, oh, yeah. You know, when our kids were little and there was all that, you know, whoever those artists were back then that don't do anything now. I mean, they were, you know, that kind of stuff. But
she wasn't being a snob about it. She just stated a fact. She said, you know, I've seen the most incredible circus tricks already on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Take me to the circus. Why?
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I mean, I wonder, you know, you're saying how, you know, she's writing and that kind of stuff. How does that impact that? You know, everything, nothing impresses me. How could she create something that impressed herself? You know?
Yeah. Because if not impressed, if you're not impressed, how can you get inspired?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. They are hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it might be that they're not doing, right? So I am viewing 10,000 things a day on my cell phone. And I've seen everything from porn to acrobatic tricks to rocket launches or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's just watching it. You know, you're not doing and trying, and you know, she's not going to a comedy club and saying, okay, I am really impressed now because I tried it and bombed. And these people that are mediocre are actually a hell of a lot better than I am, or, you know, something like that. Right.
And I put my daughter in a movie that I made with three of her buddies. Perhaps you guys have heard of it. And, I'm not sure how impressive it is to her and them. Like if that happened to me when I was that age, holy shit.
Well, the thing about it is
I'm in a movie.
No, but it's the girl thing. So They're in a movie. The movie was on Netflix. It's on other stuff now. It's been viewed. I mean, I remember when it was on Netflix, you could see how many people had watched it. And it was like 545,000 times it had been viewed and that kind of stuff. And my wife gets recognized by being in it, right? Yeah. So like there, you know, some people are like, holy shit, look, like, you know, look, I'm watching this movie with my kid. Here's a screenshot of our TV, that kind of thing. But our daughters that were in it are like, oh, gross. I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
I am so dorky looking. This is, I don't want to show it to anybody. And you tell somebody I was in a movie and they're like, what? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm never going to tell you what it is. I'm never going to show it to you, you know, whatever. And the Shakespeare one that we did, even more so, charming, 100%, you know, Rotten Tomato score, whatever that is. Everybody loves it. We used to, you know, used to sell it to school teachers all over the world, but you know, they're little kids and it's like, oh, look, I was missing a tooth, you know, or whatever, because they were eight, you know, that kind of thing.
Personally, I would give anything to see myself acting in a movie when I was 11 years old. I mean, that would be to have that, to see that would be really a special experience, you know. But it's, well, of course, our daughters are kind of, they grew up around it too, you know.
Well,
like
yeah,
my daughter,
I mean,
her mom's an actress, and so she's
well, and you know what? So
been
are
on
you.
Sets.
You are an actor. You've been in TV shows and movies. I mean, it's, you know, and
but
she
she's not
been on an episode of whatever you've been on, right? If she gets she gets into that level, that, you know, that there's one thing, but you know.
But I mean, and like also, when I was 11, living in a small town in Saskatchewan, if somebody who if to you know, act in something that somebody was filming would have been the most exciting thing of my life, probably up to that point. You know
well,
what I mean?
But that's also kind of the thing that was your dream, though. And that was inside of you at 11 or 10.
That's what caused you to go do the path you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I would have no interest in seeing me on camera at 11.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't care at all. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it has to do with the fact that I cannot perform on camera. You know, I got a face for radio, but it's not even in there.
Even amusing.
No. And you talk about movies,
I'm surprised.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. Kind of the last thing I want to do is work in production, you know, coming up with ideas, sitting around with suits, dealing with casting, going you know, doing a 14-hour day waiting for the light to be right. Fuck, please, let me do something else.
Yeah.
I'd rather do math problems.
I think it goes back to, you know, what you were saying about your daughter and being impressed. Something, there's just something that has to be triggered. And I'm not saying your daughter's not triggered by something, but it does take time to build. And that's the other thing, is like, quit being in such a hurry. Maybe, you know, you're not going to be impressed in your 20s. What I think also is happening, which is very sad as well, is if you are impressed or you want to do something or you want some level of success at something and it doesn't happen the way you want or doesn't happen at all, how hard you take that. Going back to that, listen, you know, you tried something, it didn't work, okay? But you tried something. You had to think, you had to do, you had to act, you had to make all these choices. It didn't come out the way you want, but you learned something from it. It's almost, you know, I tell my kid, you know, my son all the time, what you're doing, you know, if you want great things to happen with this, with your garden or plants, you're going to have to do it. By the way, they're plants. They're going to do what they're going to do. It's going to work or not. It's a lab. Life is a lot of times is a lab.
Yeah.
And not all of your experiments work. That's the whole point. You got to, you know, if they work, then you're not learning. You get bored. Or if none of them work, then you're going, hey, one, maybe I'm not thinking this through, or maybe I'm not inspired, or I am not really doing this from my heart.
And when she said that nothing, it wasn't, like I said, she wasn't coming from a place of I'm above it. It was just, well, maybe it's just because you live in LA and a lot of kids all do. Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
Or maybe she's also, you know, yes, we have a lot of opportunity here in some other ways.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't have, I mean, we also have a lot of limitations by living in a major metropolitan area like Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Well, fellas.
Yep. I gotta go sell Danny's bike.
Let's row the boat next week. And great seeing you. Thank you, America.
Oh, happy 4th of July coming
up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. See you later.
You're happy in the morning, but now you're feeling blue. Come on and set your arse down and have yourself a brew. You walked here from Killarney, and now you know it's true. You'll suck the cock of an Irishman before the night is through.